So if you have your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, if you would stand just for a moment out of reverence to God's Word. We'll start in verse number 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You. We're so thankful to be in Your house. We're so thankful to be able to stand behind this sacred desk. Father, we're unworthy. Father, we're thankful. Father, there's no way that we could ever deserve the love that You have for us. But Father, we're thankful tonight that we can look at our soul and we can see that You have saved us, Father, that You have given us that love and given us salvation so freely, Father. But Lord, as we stand, we know, God, that we can't do this without Your help. So, Father, I ask You to anoint our tongue and anoint our lips. Father, help us that we'll preach Your Word tonight. And Father, help us to take a seat when You're done with us. Father, we ask You to help each and every one of us that we hear Your Word tonight. God, that You would anoint our ears. Lord, that we would not only be hearers of Your Word, but Lord, anoint our lives that we would be doers also. Father, we love You, we appreciate You, and we ask You to watch over us. It's in Jesus' precious name we humbly pray. And amen and amen. You can be seated. So I go back and I think about the lanterns that we had, and they may have not been prepared, but the flashlights were. And as we go into the scripture here, you'll kind of see where the idea behind it, you know, where it caught up to me. But there was a word here used in the scripture. It says that the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now this word that is used here for virgins translates in Greek to panthenoi. And in our terminology, that would be a bridesmaid. So there were 10 bridesmaids, in a sense. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. And I'm sure that most of us here tonight have heard this story before. But I think that the one thing that Jesus wanted to make sure that he got the point across to was that we should always be prepared. Always be prepared, and that's a big thing even in my house, is we want to make sure we're prepared for things. And we even had a conversation this morning about being prepared to do things and making sure that you're thinking about your next move so that the things that you do don't make sense. You never want to not make sense because you haven't prepared. So when Jesus was speaking here, I think that we can learn a lot about preparation. But also think that when you go through the scripture, we're also invited and we're also encouraged to keep our fires burning. One of the problems that we're going to see throughout this scripture was the lack of preparedness caused the fires to go out. One of the problems that we have as humans, even as Christians, is sometimes we're not prepared for things. Sometimes things hit us a little sideways. And when they hit us this way, we're not prepared for it. Sometimes our fire has problems being rekindled. But as we go through the scripture tonight, with God's help and your prayers, hopefully we'll be able to look at being prepared and keeping the fire burning. So in verse number 3 through 5, it says, "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarrieth, they all slumbered and slept." So we see what separated the foolish from the wise. The foolish didn't take any extra oil with them. They took their lamps. So they were halfway there, but they didn't take any oil. And the wise, they took their lamps and they took their oil. You know, it says in verse number 5, the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. So nobody really knew when to be prepared for the bridegroom. But what these bridesmaids knew was he was coming and it was going to get dark. We know as Christians that he is coming, but sometime before he gets here, it's going to get dark. It's a scary, scary world we live in. You can take away COVID. You can take away the political issues that we face in this world. You can take away so many aspects of our world that seem like it has us on edge right now. And still, we live in a world that is getting dark, but we know that he is coming. The bridegroom is coming. The foolish bridegrooms were unprepared. They didn't take enough oil to keep their lamps burning. They weren't ready for the bridegroom. Here is the problem they faced. They were ready for the wedding, but they weren't ready for the reception. Folks, that's a big issue. It's one thing to be ready for the wedding, but before there's a wedding, there's a reception. Too many times there are people that are ready and looking forward to heaven, but they're not ready for the rapture that's coming. They're not ready for the call that's coming. They're not ready for the trumpet to sound. They're not ready for the gates to open wide. They're not ready for the eastern sky to part, but they're ready for heaven. It does no good to be ready for heaven when you're not ready for the rapture. It doesn't help you a bit to be ready for the wedding when you're not ready for the reception. They'd only partially prepared. Their lamps had no oil. How can a lamp be lit without oil? How can a flashlight be turned on with no batteries? How can a car be started without an ignition? None of these things work without the other. How can you get a preacher to preach without chicken? I just had to make sure we were alive. We're alive. Praise the Lord, we're alive. There's so many things that they don't work without the other. These lamps were not going to burn all night without any oil in them. They were ready in the sense of bringing the lamps, but they weren't ready in the sense of bringing the oil. People go to church every single week. They go in and they sing the songs and they listen to the lesson. They listen to the preaching. They become part of the church. They put their tithes in the plate. They get up in the choir. They've got half of the red back memorized. They can quote you scripture left and right. They have knowledge of the truth. But the problem is that's all they have. It does no good for us to carry a lamp without being able to light it. It does no good for the Christian to not be well oiled. It does no good for us to not have fire behind us. If there's nothing there, there's nothing there. I'm reminded of a revival that they kept inviting an Indian man to. And they kept on inviting him, you need to come to the revival. You need to come to the revival. First week passed by and he wouldn't go to the revival. Second week passed by and he still wouldn't go to the revival. The third week comes along and he says, something's going on. I'm going to go to the revival. So he goes down to the revival, and for a solid hour and a half, this preacher preached his lungs out. He gave him everything he had on the altar, and he just let him have everything that he could possibly give him. But everybody sat there like nothing was going on. After it was over with, the Indian began to talk to him and ask him if that's how the services had been. Yes. Is that how the preaching had been? Yeah, boy, ain't he good, he said. Whole lot of smoke, not much fire. Folks, I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians, they've got a whole lot of smoke, but not much fire behind them. And I'm not talking about preachers. I'm not talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about Christians as in you and I when we stand before God, whether they are saved or whether they are lost, whether their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or whether they are sent to an eternal hell. I'm talking about Christians. There are Christians who have a lot of smoke about them, but there ain't no fire. That's a scary place to be. That's a scary place for these people to be here. And you'll see as we go on through the scripture, these bridesmaids, these virgins, they became scared because of not being prepared. If we go back just a few chapters in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Folks, that's a scary place to be. There are folks that are dying and going to hell that we sit beside of every single week in the church. There are people that we sing the hymns with that are on their way to hell. There are people who will stand and sing the praises of God and testify, and they've never known Him as their personal Savior. I can honestly say I have witnessed it and I have lived it personally. When you grow up in church, it is very easy to get a little confused about where you stand with God. When you are raised in church, it is very easy. It is very easy to 4, 5, 6 years old, at a point in life where you don't truly understand. You remember hearing a preacher talk about hell, and you think, that's not where I want to go. You remember hearing a preacher talk about the eternal damnation of hell, and you think, that's not how I want to spend eternity. And that's all you know. And you go and you'll pray the little prayer without understanding, and then you believe with your heart, I've been saved. But unfortunately, we didn't have the understanding sometimes. And I believe what we end up with is Christians who look around at all of these people and they believe they're saved, but they've never actually received the knowledge of the truth. They believed it, but they didn't understand what they believed. I can tell you from my personal experience, at a very young age, I thought I was saved. It wasn't until later on that I realized I didn't get it. I meant to get it. I wanted to get it, but I didn't understand what I was getting. I didn't understand what it meant to be saved. I didn't understand what it meant to live for God. I didn't understand what it meant to try to live a holy life and still got saved young. But there's a confusion that hits there. And then there are those who come to the altar out of just trying their best to escape hell. Just trying to escape hell. And they ask God to forgive them. They ask God to save them from their sins. And they get up and they're just as dirty as they was when they came down. What a scary place to be. You say, well, preacher, all you can do is pray that their intentions are good. Yeah. Pray that their intentions are good. But if it's not, that's a soul that is lost and is undone without Jesus. Pray that their intentions are good, but that's a soul that will die and go to hell and live there eternally. Folks, I'll be honest. I believe that the church, I'm not saying Bible Way, I'm not saying the Good Shepherd, I'm saying the church as a whole, as Christians, I believe we've failed in discipleship programs. I think there should be discipleship programs for young Christians. I think that there should be this programs where young Christians are absolutely bugged and annoyed by their Christian brothers and sisters, calling them and praying for them and encouraging them and helping them and holding them accountable. When they miss a Sunday, they make a phone call, not fussing, just, hey, how are you? Where are you? Is everything okay? You know, I believe with all my heart, sometimes accountability is one of the best things you can get. Do you know why I always try to do a good job at my work? It's not because I'm that good of a person. It's because someone else will notice when I don't. It's because the next crew is going to come along and they'll see where I forgot to do this or I forgot to do that. So I make sure that I cross all my T's and I dot all my I's because there is accountability there. Sometimes for the best performance, there has to be accountability. You go talk to the athletes that play so hard and so well and you ask them, why do you do this week in and week out? They know that if they don't, if they underperform, they'll lose their job. Folks, Christianity is not one bit less serious. Living for Christ is no less serious. There should be accountability in living for Christ. There should be discipleship and training in living for Christ. But unfortunately, there's so many people who come to the altar and they've got their lamp, but they forget the oil. Folks, we've got to be prepared. We have to be prepared. We have to love these folks. We have to help these folks. We have to make sure that whenever we see conviction happening, that they not only understand what it means to be saved, but they understand what conviction is. But too many times, I've witnessed it. I witnessed it, and I'm guilty of it. When I was pastoring even, you see somebody come and get saved. They give their heart and life to Jesus, and that's it. They're good. Nothing else to worry about. That's one more the devil didn't get. Praise the Lord, it is. But what happens when we don't do our job? What happens when we let them slip by and we don't teach them and we don't help them? What happens when they don't understand the seriousness of what they just did, of what the work that was just done in their life? Then we have a bunch of lamps with no oil. It's a very scary place to be. There's a danger in being unprepared. There's also despair of being unprepared. Verses 6 and 7 over here in Matthew chapter 25, it says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." There's a little bit of despair going on now. There was an uh-oh moment. There was five foolish bridesmaids, five foolish virgins who looked down at their lamps. Their lamps wouldn't light. There's a problem here. This seems a bit alarming. This is a little bit scary. This is like when when you're growing up and the power goes out and maybe you can't get the lamps to light or the flashlights won't turn on. This is what a lot of people in Texas faced back last year whenever it got so cold and they began to see weather that they had never felt before. They weren't prepared for that. And here's the cold, and here's the bad weather, and all of a sudden there's no electricity. And you've got folks that have no idea what a heavy winter coat is. You've got people that's never worn one in their life. You've got children that are in their house, and the biggest coat they've got is a hoodie, and their houses are 20, 25, 30 degrees inside. They can't get out and go buy anything because you can't leave. You can't go anywhere. The roads are blocked off. The weather's too bad. There were people that froze to death and died in their homes because of their lack of preparation, because they had never faced this before. There's something coming that nobody's ever faced before. There's a bridegroom coming, just like with the virgins here, the bridesmaids. There was something coming that they had never faced before. And when they go to light their lamps, the lamps won't light. They go to start the fire, and the fire's out, and there's no oil to ignite the flame. There's a problem. This was an uh-oh moment. Why was there so much despair? Well, because there's fear in darkness. There's fear in darkness. It's scary when it's dark. You ask my kids, we just recently got a dog. A little golden doodle for now, and it won't be little for long. And Neelan, this dog and Neelan are best friends and they're enemies at the same time. One minute they're running through the house playing. The next minute Neelan's dragging the dog through the house by its ear. The next minute the dog's got his mouth wrapped around Neelan's arm dragging him through the house. And they play all the time. It's a puppy and a baby. I mean, that's how they do. But this dog has to go outside. And you can ask my daughters when they take the dog outside. There's a certain side of my house at night they don't like to take the dog to. It's dark. They can't see over there. And when I say you can't see over there, I mean you can't see your hand in front of your face. Ball Branch has a lot of wildlife. And I'm not talking about little cute rabbits and little cute squirrels. I'm talking about we've got bears. We've got coyotes. A couple years ago, we had a family of foxes that just loved us. They weren't scared of us. You could go out in the yard with them, and they wouldn't go anywhere. That wildlife is a little scary. Not to mention, apparently, there's a boogeyman around my house. I've never seen him. I've never heard him. But some of my kids believe there's a boogeyman. Sometimes he's under their bed. Sometimes he's in the closet. Sometimes he's around the dark corner of the house. But that boogeyman's scary. That dark, the darkness is scary. There's no light. You say, well, preacher, it's silly. You need to teach your kids to not be scared of the dark. Let's take a ride when we leave here. There's a tunnel down in Hawkins County I'd like for you to go in with me. We'll turn the headlights out and get out and have a talk. You tell me how good you feel about the dark. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stay in the car and lock myself in. You say, do you believe in that silly junk? Nope. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I do believe there's places I ain't supposed to be. And I ain't going there. And I do believe bad things happen in those places. And I do believe that bad things happen in the dark. I do believe that when my wife changes her furniture around, that one of the bad things that happens in the dark is I stump my toe. You can't see where you're going. I have figured out, though, there is a way, no matter how she moves her furniture around, that I can walk through the refrigerator without turning the light on. And that's all that matters. It is. It's scary in the dark because you can't see everything around you. During the daylight, and when you turn the lights on in the church, you can see everything going on. You can see the people sleeping. Nobody's sleeping right yet. But I mean, this could be an hour and a half sermon, so it might happen before it's over with. But you can see everything that's going on, but you turn the lights off. It gets a little different. Gets a little different when you turn the lights off. It's a little harder to walk. It's a little hard to see where you're going. It gets dangerous. You can get hurt in the dark. It's fearful to be in the dark. Why is there fear in the dark? Because there's wickedness in the dark. Folks, I've never in my life Never in my life had a moment in darkness where Jesus was hiding in the corner. He doesn't hide in the corner in the dark. No, my Bible tells me that He is the light, and the light in the darkness comprehended it not. My Bible lets me know that Jesus is the light of the world, and that when we look at this dark world, that you can still see the Son of God because He is the light of the world. I can look out in this dark world and see all the trouble that's going on, but I still look out and I see the trees. I still look out and I see the grass. I still look up and I see the sky. I see the rainfall. You say, well, preacher, these days like this aren't very pretty. No, they're not. But thank God for the rain. Because if there were no rain, we'd be in a desert. Thank God for the sunshine. Thank God for the snow. Thank God for the cold. Thank God for the warmth. Thank God for this, because that proves to me that He's still on the throne and He's still in control. And those 6 days in the book of Genesis, that He hasn't lost 1 ounce of His power since then. And I know that He's got this whole thing in His hand. And there's no darkness there. But there is wickedness in darkness. There's fear in darkness. The darkness is dangerous. The darkness is a good place to get hurt. There's bad things and bad people in the dark. You look over in the book of John, chapter number 11, verse number 10 said, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. Folks, it's not good to be in the dark. It's not good to be in the dark. Bad things happen in the dark. You go to a big city. I'll never forget a few years ago, we went to Washington, D.C., and there were some friends that met us while we were there, and we got to look around the city a little bit. Folks, I'm gonna tell you, not Washington D.C. It was Cincinnati. You could tell it was a beautiful city during the day. We went and watched a ball game, and it was so much fun, and it was beautiful at times. But then it gets dark, and you could look and see, that's not somewhere I need to go right now. That alley is not a good place for me. Drive right through it in the middle of the day. I'm not going through that alley right now. I'm not going to walk through that park tonight. I'm not taking my family in that area tonight. Again, we did go to D.C. We went around there. It's beautiful. I said for years that we'd done the most American thing you can possibly do. We sat on the lawn right in front of the Capitol building, between the Capitol and the Washington Monument, and we ate bologna and cheese sandwiches. It doesn't get much more American than that. I felt like I was probably as close to being George Washington as anybody ever could be. I mean, I felt like I could throw a nickel across the Potomac. Maybe not a quarter, but a nickel. But I did. I felt so American. Felt so privileged to see what God has made possible for our country. But then the sun starts going down. That city don't look so good after dark. The people that roam those streets don't look so friendly after dark. You go to your motel and you notice how many locks are on your door. They don't put that many locks on a motel room door if it was a real good place to be after dark. Begin to question yourself, should I be here? Good things don't happen in the dark. There's wickedness in dark. There's fear of the dark. There's despair in being unprepared. There's also dread of being unkindled. We look in verses 8 and 9. And it says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for you, for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. There's going to be a point in time where folks are going to see that they're little too late. It's gone too far. They've messed up now. It's uh-oh, we're in trouble. So what are they going to start doing? They'll start going, Steve, I've been a good person, hadn't I? I've done God's work, hadn't I? Steve, you heard me preach, didn't you? Brother Gary, you heard me sing God's music, didn't you? But what happens when all these people that we heard preach and we heard sing and we heard testify and we saw in the choir and we watched them put their tithes in the offering and they never missed a service and they were here for Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night, Wednesday night. What happens when we get to heaven and their face is nowhere to be found? We got a problem. And then we have the issue with these bridesmaids here. Well, give me some of your oil. Give me some of your oil. They start pleading with people because they know it's too late for God. They knew it was too late for the bridegroom here. So they started pleading and begging from the other bridesmaids. Give us some oil. They said, we can't give you oil. We'll run out. We have prepared. We prepared our heart. We prepared our life. We prepared. We used our time in a good way. We didn't just prepare for the wedding. We prepared for the reception. We prepared for the rehearsal. We prepared for the whole thing. You've prepared for heaven, but you didn't prepare for the rapture. It was a little too late. They'd reached the point where their foolishness had caught up with them. They'd had opportunity, but they let it slip on by. What a scary place to be. Preparation for the bridegroom is available. It was available for them. It was available for them while it was daylight. They could have went, or they could have brought it from home first. This is the wonderful thing about God. I've yet to meet anyone who said, God only gave me one chance. I've yet to meet anyone that would say God gave them only one chance. Because I'm going to tell you, He gave me multiple chances. And I'm going to tell you this, even when it comes to doing His will, He'll give you more than one chance because He's God, because He's so good. I've never met anyone that said, God only gave me one chance. No, these bridesmaids, they had a chance to bring oil from home. But then, when they didn't bring it from home, they had a chance to stop during the daylight hours and buy some from them that sell. They didn't take that chance. Now it's getting dark. We know how it is around here when things are dark. There's a whole lot of places closed down. Probably a little too late for them to go out and try to buy any oil for their lamps. The preparation for the bridegroom is available. It was available for them. It's available for us. It's available. The preparation for the bridegroom is easy. It was easy for them. All they had to do, put some oil in their lamps. All we have to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's easy. The preparation for the bridegroom is easy. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. The preparation for the bridegroom is necessary. It's necessary. Without the oil, we'll get to that. We'll get to what happened to them without the oil. Without our preparation for the bridegroom, without us being kindled, without our fire being burning, without our preparation for the bridegroom, we will die and go to a devil's hell. There is no other way. You have to be prepared. Ye must be born again. It is that simple. I don't know that Jesus ever spoke more plain and more simple words. Ye must be born again. It's that simple. What if we had all this time and all of these opportunities, but we failed to prepare for the bridegroom? We would surely be in despair. I'll leave you with this. So we've saw that there's a danger in being unprepared. There's despair in being unprepared. We've saw that there's dread in being unkindled. But folks, there's some good news. The Bible also tells us that there's delight in being prepared. Verses 10 through 13 says, And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There is delight in being prepared. There is delight. Those who were prepared and had their fires burning, they were able to join the bridegroom. They were able to go into the wedding. They were able to be a part of this ceremony. They were able to enjoy their time. But those who weren't, they were a little too little, a little too late. They came knocking. They came wanting in. They wanted to join the party. The door had done been closed. The opportunity had passed them by. It was little too little, a little too late. Preparedness leads to joy. The five bridesmaids that were prepared, they had joy about them now. I'm sure that there was some dread to them when they saw that the other five wasn't going to be able to go. Because I'm going to guarantee you this. If you have 10 bridesmaids, I'd say most of them are friends. Folks, you're going to have friends that don't make it to heaven. You're going to have family that don't make it to heaven. That's a sad thought and a scary thought. It is heartbreaking to think that there's people that we love that will go to hell. But it's the truth. There are people that we care about that will go to hell. And I'm sure that these women knew good and well, you know, they're probably not going to make it back in time, even if they can find any oil. And when they do make it back, if they find all, they probably won't let them into the wedding. It's sad. That's sad. How much more sad will it be whenever people aren't ready for the wedding when the bridegroom cometh for us? How much more sad will it be when people have had all the opportunity and all the time to prepare for the wedding that's coming for us? But they just didn't prepare. So they're no longer invited to the wedding. Preparedness leads to peace. There's a saying that goes around my work. And I guess it's probably, I don't know if my team manager heard it from somebody or if it's just something he came up with. He said, if you ever want to know how to calm your nerves and you ever want to know how to feel good about what you're doing, have knowledge about it. He said, if you go into something and you don't know what you're doing and you haven't studied and you haven't planned and you haven't prepared, you're going to be scared to death. And there's going to be times that you're going to face things that you've never seen before. Whether you're a mechanic or whether you're an operator, whatever it is that you're doing in your job, there's going to be things that you've never seen before. But if you have studied and prepared for that, that's going to calm your nerves and you're going to have enough peace about you to do your job. But those who haven't prepared, they're going to be over in the corner begging everybody else for help. They're going to be tore all to pieces wondering what in the world's going on. They're going to have lines shut down. They're going to end up costing the company money. They're going to end up being taken in the back wanting to know why they weren't ready. You know, I found that to be true. I found that to be true at work, and I found that to be true with God. When you are prepared to meet Him, there's a peace about you. You're no longer worried about the end. You're no longer worried about how this world's going to wrap up. What matters to you is that it's going to, and that when it does, we go to heaven. That's what matters. There's a peace about you when you're prepared. And finally, preparedness makes us ready for the coming bridegroom. It's as simply put as that. None of these bridesmaids were prepared for the bridegroom. Because they didn't prepare, they were left out. Folks, there's a bridegroom coming. I don't know if it's a lack of fire that you've got in your life. I don't know if it's a lack of preparation that you have in your life. You say, preacher, it's Sunday night. People don't usually preach this type of message on Sunday night. I agree. And I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart. But I can tell you this. There are folks that are going to church that are on their way to hell. And I can tell you that I have been one that has sat in the church and I have had a problem where I had no fire about me. So whether it be your fire needs to be rekindled or whether your life needs to be prepared, the bridegroom's coming. Be ready for the wedding. Be ready for the wedding. Sister, would you mind to come and play a song of invitation?